Hi everybody, we're going to look at the Bible passage now. We're back in Luke's Gospel, not long till we finish it. We've got two more sermons, I think, after this one on Luke's Gospel, and then we're done. So, it's at the really exciting part. We're going to look at a very famous passage. Two disciples are going to Emmaus. They're on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem, and they get a nice surprise. Let's hear God's word. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you were holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose, that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And that's God's word. Two disciples are sad, it says, and they are walking away. They're going home. They feel like their mission has failed. And as I say, they got a very nice surprise. So Jesus appears in this passage, and we've got 3 points. Jesus walks with the disciples. Jesus comforts the disciples. And then Jesus is proclaimed by the disciples. Jesus walks with the disciples, Jesus comforts the disciples, Jesus is proclaimed by the disciples. As we say, there are two disciples. Some say they were husband and wife, Cleopas and his wife. It doesn't say that. I don't think it's a hill to die on. It may be, or they may just be two friends. But either way, they're walking away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, about 7 miles, and they're sad. And in their sad, we glean from what they say why they're sad. They feel perhaps that Jesus didn't deliver on his promise. You know, it's interesting what they say. We had hoped he would redeem Israel. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They felt like this was a failure. And they probably, in that sadness, felt very confused. People had said they'd been to the tomb and he wasn't there. You know, we all know periods, we've all had, I trust, periods of grief in our life where things just didn't make sense. Things that we take for granted normally are just so hard. And when we've invested in something, whatever it is, when it doesn't work out, we're crushed. Think of a general election or a referendum campaign, as we've had in Britain over the past 10 years, several of them. The day after, the losing side is crushed. And as we know, many of the disciples, even though they were genuine disciples, still completely misunderstood Jesus' mission. They thought he was going to be a mighty Jewish king to overthrow the Romans. And when you believe that and you invest in that, in your time, in your finances, in your way, your complete way of life, and then the fellow you were following, who you thought was going to bring about this kingdom of righteousness and Jewish nationhood, ends up crucified, you're crushed. And that's the point they missed, which we'll talk about in a bit. They'd missed the point. And to these poor, sad, crushed, disappointed disciples, look what happened. Jesus himself drew near. Jesus himself drew near. What a picture of grace and compassion and love and tenderness. These disciples who completely missed the point, who having missed the point now regard the whole thing as a flop, Jesus himself walks with them. And as the Lord Jesus often does in the Gospels, he tries to tease out what they're talking about. He gets us to think. He says, what are you talking about? And they can't believe the question. Cleopas says, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And Jesus says, what things? You know, he presses them to explain what's going on. And as we say, look at Cleopas's confession of faith. What things? And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet in deed and word before God and all the people, and our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned and crucified him. So they had a really good knowledge of the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And of the end of his life, what happened to him? How intimate they were with the apostles, we don't know, it doesn't say. When they started following Jesus, we don't know, it doesn't say. But they knew an awful lot about it. But that knowledge is misplaced. And these erring poor disciples, Jesus himself reveals, and he walks with them. And he walks with them. Notice they're on the road to Emmaus, to a village. And Jesus walked with them the whole way. Because it says in verse 28, so they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. He's going off. It's a test. But Jesus walks with them that whole way. . 2020 has been a difficult year. Very difficult for many of us. We've experienced hardship, we've experienced loss, we've experienced a slightly confusing setup. I've had to deal with COVID, and we have found it really hard. In all of our doubts, in all of our questions, in all of our grief, in all of our mistakes, Jesus walks with us. He is a gracious, kind, loving, tender, patient Saviour. Because he knows what it is to be tempted and be faithful, so he shows compassion to those of us who've fallen. So know that he wants to walk with you. Yes, he doesn't walk physically with us now, but we walk by faith in him, by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, by faith in our hearts. There's a chorus to an old hymn. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. And that's the experience of all the great saints, from Enoch in Genesis 5, Enoch who walked with God, to these poor disciples who got the complete wrong end of the stick, and to many, many saints, famous and not famous, missionaries, pioneers, pastors, to the lovely housewife and Christian mother, to the teacher, to the banker, to the footballer, to all of them, who are broken, who are grieving, black, white, all of us who are Christians know the experience of Jesus walking with us. And he walked with us, as the Psalm 22 says, even through the valley of the shadow of death. Point two, Jesus comforts the disciples. Now, in verse 25, Jesus rebukes them, which is a funny way to start comfort, but remember, just bear with me. Verse 25, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? The Bible is all about the sufferings and subsequent glory of Christ. That's what the entire Bible is about. The Old Testament is the shadow, the New Testament is the substance. The Old Testament is the bulb, the seed. The New Testament is the flower. And it's all about the suffering and glory of Christ. It's what 1 Peter chapter 1 says. And the complaint of the disciples, which we read earlier, in verse 21, which says, we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. You know, they say, he was crucified. He was crucified, and we thought he was going to redeem us. And he says, O foolish and slow of heart to believe, I am the one to redeem Israel because I was crucified. That's how the Bible says Israel and the world will be redeemed, through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we've been looking at on the first Sunday of every month. That's how redemption is accomplished and applied. It's through the cross of Christ, the perfect life, the perfect death, the perfect resurrection, ascension, and glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it happens. And Jesus then comforts them. He's rebuked them, but he doesn't leave them there. He says, okay, you think I haven't redeemed? Let's go to the book. So how does Jesus comfort the disciples? Scripture, and he breaks bread. Hold that thought. Scripture, verse 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All of the Bible is about Jesus, as I've said. So going from Moses, Moses traditionally is what we call the first five books of the Bible, the Law of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and the prophets, the rest of it. It's all about Jesus. Indeed, the first few verses of the Bible, you know, God's in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water, and God said, let there be light. God's word created by the Spirit. And in John chapter 1, it talks about the word of God, who is the creator and the sustainer of the universe, and who became one of us, and his name is Jesus Christ. It would have been an amazing Bible study. Jesus would have gone right through the Old Testament. Quite a feat. Quite a feat. And explained it all about him. So whenever you read the Bible, whenever you read it, Old or New Testament, ask me, how does this point me to Christ? You know, whether it's the Ten Commandments, or whether it's Paul's practical commands at the end of his letters, any command of God tells you about Jesus, because he obeyed God perfectly. He bore the fruits of the Spirit perfectly. He kept all of God's commands. He is all. I mean, when you read the Bible like this, Leviticus becomes so exciting because it all points to Jesus, the priests, the sacrifices, the tabernacle with incense and cherubs and the Ark of the Covenant and all that. It all becomes about Jesus. And it leads us to him because he's fulfilled it. So read your Bible in 2021, however you do it. Even if it's just a page a day, read your Bible and ask, what does it teach me about God? How does it point me to Christ? What character should I should be formed in me by the Holy Spirit, and what am I going to do with it? So what should I believe, and what should I do with what I read in the Bible? Scripture, and he breaks bread, verse 30. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Now, I don't think this was the Lord's Supper, but it's probably Luke making a reference to the Lord's Supper. Breaking bread is one of the terms used in the Bible for a meal. And it's also in the book of Acts, which Luke wrote, one of the names for communion. So how did Jesus comfort these erring disciples? Through scripture and the table. Word and sacrament, we call it. When we gather, we'll be able to do both. We'll be able to do both. We will see Christ in the supper, and we'll see him in the word. Remember the quote which I preached when I preached on the Lord's Supper earlier this year? Remember the Scottish pastor Robert Bruce, not Robert the Bruce, Robert Bruce. He said, we feed on Christ in the supper the way we feed on Christ in the word. Content thyself with that. Both the preached word and the Lord's Supper the visible word speak beautifully, simply, yet profoundly about the suffering and glory of Christ. What we read in the Word, all 66 books, is symbolized to us in the bread and the wine of the supper. What we preach about, especially on the first Sunday of this month, of this year, of each month of the year, excuse me, we've looked at the cross. All of that is symbolized in the bread and the wine of the supper. And so when we take that bread, as surely as we eat that bread, we're saying Christ feeds us to eternal life. As surely as we take the cup, we're saying Christ's blood cleanses me to eternal life. And that's the sign and the seal of it. And that's beautiful. This is our comfort. Yes, we can be comforted in other ways. A hug, a chat. And we should do those things. We should make time for each other in a responsible way, of course. But ultimately for the Christian, for the disciple, that's the true comfort. Go to the Word, God's promises in the Word. And when we meet, which we will, the sacraments, which are God's visible word, God's pledge. So that is how Jesus comforted his disciples. Is that how you take comfort when times are bad? I confess that's not how I've not been as faithful in that as I should have been this year. There's a confession from me with everything that's gone on. So pray for me and I'll pray for you, and comfort each other with the words of Scripture. And yes, don't beat yourself up and carry guilt. Christ died to set us free. So what's the consequences? What happened to the disciples? Well, verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened Scriptures to us? I'd love that to happen to us as we look at the Bible together, whether it's me and Martin preaching to you, or life group, or the beautiful sung worship that we have, which have lots of good scriptural phrases and content when we do gather, when we take the supper, or indeed when we're in our own homes on the sofa reading a Bible. I hope we know something of our heart burning within us. And if we don't, be patient, and just wait on the Lord. Just tarry, keep reading, keep praying, keep trusting, and he'll do his work. Their hearts burned within them when he walked with them and explained Scripture to them. Oh, what a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. May that be true of us and every Christian all over the world. Indeed, every person, may they come to know that truth. So they proclaimed Jesus. Their hearts burned within them and they couldn't keep it to themselves. They went back that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. 7 miles. They were so excited. They were so energized. They couldn't wait to get back to Jerusalem, and they walked back. After walking down there, 7 miles, they walked back 7 miles. And now I know many of us at SPC love walking. Would you be eager to do that? Well, that's what Jesus does. They couldn't wait to get back to the church, to the disciples, to the apostles, and tell them what had happened, that Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen, and Jesus has explained Scripture to us. He's broke bread with us, he's comforted us, and he's made our hearts burn within us. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know this Jesus? If you don't, please come to him this very day with all your questions, all your queries, all your doubts. Look at these people. Look at these. They told Jesus to his face, unknowingly, because it was kept from them, God's sovereignty. But they told Jesus to his face, basically, that he was a flop and that he disappointed them. And that's how Jesus reacted towards them. That's grace. That's kindness. That's tenderness. That's mercy. That's patience. So come to him with all your doubts, with all your anxieties, all your wonderings, all your, I don't believe that. These people did. In fact, they didn't go to Jesus. Jesus went to them. So come to him this very day. And if you are a Christian, going through hard times, and we don't know how long, or indeed what 2021 is going to bring, but we know that Jesus is with us. Sinclair Ferguson wrote a book, A Heart for God, and in it he said, the Bible never promises to take us out of problems and danger in this world, but it does promise us that God will be with us through them. And that's a taste of heaven. And that's true, isn't it? To know that our sins are forgiven, that we're declared righteous in the sight of God, that we're adopted into his family, that we're sanctified, that we have a hope after the grave, and that we'll be glorified with him forever and ever. And he will, because of his death, because of his life, death, and resurrection, he will redeem Israel, the whole world, and make all things new. So get to know Jesus better. Use the Bible. Start reading it, Old and New Testament. Read all of it. A whole Bible is needed to make a whole Christian. And then pray. Talk to Jesus. Get to know him. Listen to him in the Word. Pray to it. Talk to him in prayer. And sing. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And confess your sins. Live in humility, in communion, communion is fellowship with each other. The disciples never, these Cleopas and his wife, or Cleopas and his friend, or the two disciples, they weren't Lone Ranger Christians. They had the heart burning in them, and they went to church. So cling to Jesus and to his people. And share him together. And on behalf of the leadership of SVC, and from me personally, I want to say, I'm glad I get to walk with Jesus with you. You're amazing. You bless me. And thank you for your love and support and faithfulness this year. Let's all keep trusting and keep looking to the hills, from whence does our help come? Our help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who's given us a Saviour, Jesus Christ. May he, by his Spirit, through his Word, make our hearts burn within us as we walk with him together on the way to glory. God bless you.